This morning's reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, Luke's account of Jesus' life. And we pick up, it's on page 1037, and we're in chapter 8, starting at verse 26. We pick up Luke's account of the life of Jesus in a boat on a lake, just after Jesus had amazed his disciples by calming a fierce storm, by rebuking the wind and storm. Luke continues, "They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me.' For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Legion,' he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return home and tell how much God has done for you.' So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him." This is the word of the Lord.
And so, Father God, we pray that you will help us to understand from this really rather bizarre story what you want us to understand from it. Amen. So that's a really well-known story. It's in three of the Gospels. It's in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in Matthew. So it must have been quite something. The pigs. Luke mentions a large herd of pigs. So in my mind, in the past, whenever I've thought about this story, I've thought of outside, you know, that hill that goes down to the lake? A bunch of pigs running down the hill into the lake. Well, that picture is actually completely wrong, because in Mark's Gospel, he actually tells us how many pigs there were. There were not 10 pigs. There weren't 100 pigs. There weren't 1,000 pigs. But double that, there were 2,000 pigs. And I guess that that is more pigs than you can fit into Elmden Park Lake. I've not tried it, so don't hold me to that. Now, the lake that Jesus and his disciples had just sailed across, we know it as the Sea of Galilee. It is really a lake, but it's so big that it is affected by storms, as Christine said. It feels more like a sea. For those that have been on Loch Ness, and I know some have, it's about, Loch Ness is about 23 miles. So Loch Ness is quite long, but Loch Ness is only a mile wide. If you've been on Lake Windermere, that's 10 miles long and a mile wide. So the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. So it's 8 times wider than Loch Ness or Lake Windermere. So it's wide. It's a big, big lake. Jesus and his disciples, they'd sailed along from Galilee, and there was a herd of 2,000 pigs on the hillside. So straight away, we know they're not in their normal Jewish territory. Pigs, absolutely not allowed in the Jewish laws. Jewish people wouldn't have anything to do with them. So Luke tells us that Jesus stepped ashore. You can imagine these disciples, they're going to be still a bit flummoxed by what happened on the way over. A storm brewed up, they were frightened, they thought they were going to die. Jesus stood up, told the storm to behave itself, and it did. Who is this man, Jesus? So, they landed straight away, Jesus got out, and immediately he was met by this demon-possessed man. And he did know who Jesus was. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? So this man knew who Jesus was. He was so possessed by demons, he had torn his clothes off in agony. The town people, they tried chaining him down hand and foot, but he broke free. They'd kept him under guard, but he escaped. The demons had driven him out. He ended up living amongst the tombs of the dead people, as if he was dead himself. So, have you ever been caught out doing something that really you knew you shouldn't? You know, smoking behind the bike sheds? Crayoning on the wallpaper? And then along comes the headmaster or the teacher or the parent or, now we're for it. Well, the demon knew it had been caught. I beg you, don't torture me. Jesus asked him his name because names are important. He said, Legion. It's a Roman sort of a word, legion. A legion was the largest group in the Roman army, and apparently it was about 5,200 men, but it could be more if you wanted. And remember that these people were under Roman occupation. This man was riddled with thousands of demons who begged Jesus because they knew who he was. Son of the Most High God. They begged him not to order them into the abyss. Now, we know about the abyss because we've read Revelation. But these demons, they didn't have to read it. I don't even know if it was written then. They knew. They knew the horror that they deserved. Please, send us into the pigs instead. So, Jesus allowed that. The demons came out of the man and went into the pigs. And the pigs couldn't cope with it. So they all rushed down the steep bank into the lake and they were drowned. It was, I'm sure, quite a sight. Now, another picture that I always seem to get wrong is that I imagine all these places as little villages. You know, a collection of a few simple houses gathered together by the lakeside. Actually, that's not right at all. It's quite wrong. Apparently, there are still ruins of these towns to walk around. They were magnificent buildings. And this man was from the town. And those who were from the town and heard what happened, they came and ran to have a look. The people who knew what had happened, they thought, let's tell everybody, this is a bit amazing. So everybody came to have a look. 2,000 pigs. It's a lot of pork chops and slices of bacon. What were they doing with such a large pig farm? So it's a big town. The Roman army was there. And a lot of people in that area would have been Greek. It was that sort of area. There had been a lot of Greek influence. And the standard sacrifice, especially to some of the Greek gods, Demeter and Dionysus, the sacrifice was pork. So these pig farmers, they had a good income satisfying the Roman army and supplying sacrificial pigs for the Greeks. And I guess for whatever else they wanted to do with them. And their income has just been interrupted by the pigs hurling themselves into the lake. In the meantime, while all this was going on, and people were coming and having a look and thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on? Well, they must have had a quick whip round, really, for some clothes. Because the man who had had all those demons was now properly dressed in his right mind. So the people who had seen it all happen told the others, this is the man you tried to chain and guard, but couldn't. He is the man who lived amongst the tombs, tore his clothes to shreds, who was out of his mind. Now look at him, sitting at Jesus' feet, nice as you like. The people of the area, they could see what Jesus had done for the man, what they absolutely couldn't. And yet, their way of life was severely dented. They were trading with the Romans, the very people who were oppressing them. They were trading with the people and the priests for sacrifices for fictitious gods. Even the demons had known Jesus to be the Son of the Most High God. And now they'd lost their pigs. For that man that needed him, Jesus had crossed a huge lake, gone to a foreign land to find him. And you think about him, think about us. We might feel that we are far away from Jesus sometimes, in a foreign land. It's of no matter for him. He can find us in the most unlikely places, even if we think we are amongst the tombs. And so that man begged to stay with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, stay. I'm going to make you one of my first ever evangelists. Go home and tell how much God has done for you. So he did. So the rest of the people, what did they choose? Amazement. Here's this man who has managed to free this man that we couldn't chain him down, we couldn't guard him, we couldn't keep him in his right mind. He was absolutely, we couldn't do anything. You know, we had to try and chain him up and keep him out of the way because he was driving us all mad. They've seen him be healed. They've seen him sitting in his right mind. Did they want to know more about this man? If you can do that, what else can you do? Or were they worried about losing their normal way of life, trading with their oppressors and the mythical religions? Well, you guess, yes. They chose to be worried and to hold on to their normal way of life. They asked Jesus to leave. Go. So he did. He went. And can we honestly blame them? Because it's easy for us to say, Fancy choosing to feed those who take away your freedom. Fancy choosing to make sacrifices to gods that don't exist. But actually, it was their normal way of life. It had been forever. It was how society worked. And actually, they weren't having a bad life. Why change it? I think that's it. It's when you're in the middle of life, it's difficult to stand back and see the bigger picture. The way that society shapes and forms us, what we take for granted as normal, the way to do things, what other people do. Society's values, they're sort of insidious. They creep up on us slowly. They're very engaging. And they become the norm. So-and-so does it. Yeah, we'll do it like that. Yeah, why bother doing that? Yeah, we'll do that. But they're not always Jesus's values. We can think for ourselves what we choose to agree with and what we don't. We can choose if we want to follow Jesus's values or not. If we are fascinated by Jesus or not. The people, they decided they didn't want to. They asked him to leave, so he did. But the whole series of our readings at the moment is good news for everyone. Everyone who wants it. Whether we feel as if we're in a foreign land, as if we belong or not, if we're bogged down with a plethora of worries, or if we just feel that life is just going on as normal, Jesus will look out for us and search us. And then our life might change. What would we choose? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all the stories that we hear about and that teach us about you. And we pray that you might come down into our normal lives and do something amazing and make us interested, make us turn to you, to learn more about you and to take on your values rather than the world's values. We pray that you come, you find us, and you live in us. Amen.